Hey.
Hello, 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 Healthy and Whole Marriages family. Thank you so much for joining us on this marital journey of ours and for including us to be a part of your marital journey as well. And especially as we traverse this new area of our podcast life and this particular Healthy and Whole Marriages life by introducing the video blog version of it all. So before we begin, we will start the way we do anything else, and that's with prayer, and then we'll introduce ourselves if it's your first time here. If not, hello again and welcome so much, and thank you so much for joining us.
God, we thank you, praise, and bless your name for, again, another opportunity to come before your presence. God, we pray that you will bless us as we speak tonight, today, this morning, as we come into the homes of your people, God. We pray that your guidance will be there. And God, we pray that you will word our mouths to spread this word in your way. Thank you for healthy and whole marriages. And God, we thank you for your people and just marriage in general. Bless us. It's in Jesus' name. Thank God. Amen.
Amen. So, ladies and gentlemen, once again, thank you for joining us. We are the faces behind Healthy and Whole Marriage Conferences Incorporated, Seth and Damia Rolf. And if it's your absolute first time, it was a vision in 2017, birthed in 2018, if you will, and conferences and all the glorious things that God is giving us to do. So just visit our website if you want to know a little more information, or social media pages. Facebook is Healthy and Whole Marriages, and Instagram, it is The HW Marriage. Today's topic for the podcast is going to be about marriage advice, marital advice, marriage advice. What in the world do we listen to? Should we listen at all? Everyone has an opinion. Should we apply it? Should we adhere to anybody's? What's more important than the other? That's the gist of it. And that's what we're going to chat with you guys about today, as it relates to our personal experiences. Anything that we share is from a personal experience. It's from not only within our own home. It may have been something that impacted us from outside, and we're sharing that with you at this time. But we also will apply any scriptures that God has given us related to that topic. But we invite you and encourage you to look up those scriptures and allow God to enlighten you with those scriptures as well, if you will. So at this time, this particular topic, marital advice, I wanted to address this because it came across during a marriage ceremony. The officiant kind of alluded at the beginning of the ceremony to the fact that everybody got marriage advice. Everyone, I'm sure, gave the couple marital advice as soon as they found out they were getting married. Everybody wanted to tell them something and share some type of advice about getting married. And it was kind of, I may have misheard, may have misunderstood, but it was kind of like, you know, everybody got an opinion. And that's true, but I kind of also took it as, don't listen to anybody. And I may have missed it. And there may be more light shed upon it as I discuss this this evening. But I thought it was important because I, from my perspective, in my opinion, as we're talking about opinions, and in my experience, marital advice is not a bad thing. So I'll start there and stop and see what you wanted to jump in with, if anything.
I would say, yes, I would agree that marriage advice is, it can be important. It could be vital in a relationship. I also feel Matthew 19 and 6, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder too. So I look forward to the conversation.
Okay, so where I'm coming from, you know, definitely, it's like with anything. You get ready to do certain things, and marriage is just one of those things, one of those important things, if you will, those upper echelon type of topics where if you're about to delve into it, then someone's going to have something to say. Y'all getting it? You're engaged? Okay, when are y'all getting married? Okay, this is what you should do as far as your wedding goes. This is what you should do about getting married. And as an engaged couple, you're going to ask some people that you admire as married couples, what is it that is making your marriage work? What is it that you have as a secret of longevity in your marriage? You're going to inquire about that because that should be important to you, right? You think there's a secret sauce? You think there's some type of secret weapon, some little extra seasoning that this particular couple may have that you admire and esteem highly? Then yeah, it's going to be important to you, and it should be, because if your marriage is important to you and your spouse is important to you or your future spouse, you should want to know all the successful tips and tools that you can get your hands on to make your marriage successful as well. So we know it happens. We know it happens in parenting, all of those things, right? It's your first car. If you're going to get a driver's license, this is what you do. This is what you don't do. And I don't think people mean bad, that they, you know, for the most part, they do mean well. They want you to be successful in your marriage. But the most important part is that you have discernment, that you are willing. Mm-hmm. It's a beautiful thing, and we applaud you if you are willing to take marital advice to begin with. And then pray about discernment related to that marital advice. Pray before, pray after. Because some marital advice genuinely is not for you. I have a saying that just across the board, some people feel that they don't take and wouldn't take advice from certain people. If this person has been divorced, or they've been divorced more than once, or they just can't seem to get married, or they've been engaged too many times, but they've never been able to successfully secure a spouse. They don't want to hear marital advice from these people, whether they're engaged or not. And I feel that you can learn anything from anyone. We're not meant to be on this island alone. We're not meant to be in this world alone. God created us all to work together as a puzzle, to be able to enlighten one another, encourage one another in some shape, form, and fashion. And I feel that it doesn't matter how old this person is. It doesn't matter the level of their experience. Mm-hmm. Because if nothing else, you can learn what not to do if they don't help you figure out what you can do. Now, I am going to share some scriptural highlights that God has given me regarding this particular topic, but I don't want to just keep on talking. I did want to share that part. I'm going to say this with probably any topic we share during a podcast or whatever. Pray first. You have to talk to God. You have to include God. He created marriage, and it's important that you pray about, okay, this person is giving me advice, maybe unsolicited, but should I really listen? Okay, if I am listening, God, help me to know what is relevant, what should be applicable in our relationship, and what to throw away.
I agree. I believe that the first part of it is intentional communication between you and your spouse. And if you are giving more attention to those outside influences more than you are your spouse, it's going to cause a breakdown eventually. I also believe that it's not only coming from people, but I also believe those influences can come from children. It can come from social media.
Oh, yeah.
It can come from friends. And if you're confiding, am I saying that word right?
Mm-hmm. Confiding.
If I'm confiding in friends or social media or children more than I'm confiding in my spouse, that's where the breakdown begins to happen. Or if I'm looking for that advice from that particular person, there should be a leave and cleave as it relates to the relationship, and you're able to discuss those intimate things with your spouse. I believe that it can also be dangerous to listen to others when you haven't try to talk out those things with your spouse first.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you're able to do those things with your spouse effectively, I don't think that you should take outside information on what you should do in a particular situation. Yes, should you refine your marriage by reading books together or going out on dates or going to conferences? Yes. However, if it's an issue that's coming up in your relationship that you haven't discussed with your spouse and you're confiding in somebody else, I believe that could be a dangerous aspect.
Oh, it absolutely can be a dangerous aspect. But I think if I heard you correctly, there are occasions where people aren't able to communicate well with their spouse. Maybe the spouse isn't listening. They're not understanding. And in situations like that, the other spouse will need likely some outside wisdom.
I agree.
So,
but can we not do that together, though?
No, that's not always possible.
I'm not saying that it's always possible, but I'm saying if there's an issue that we're having together, I don't believe that one person should just receive counsel. I believe that there should be a joint effort in trying to resolve those
issues. I don't disagree, but if you're not listening to me, how am I going to get you to listen to let's go talk to somebody? Because that's not possible for some people. So then, based on the theory you just gave,
the initial step is to try to work it out. If you can't work it out with your spouse, yes, definitely, you're going to look to a counsel and bring those things together. But we also need to talk about the lines of communication to ensure that we can discuss a particular subject together or with a referee in the room, however you want to put it, though.
Yeah, I'm not fully clear on you answering that question. So if the person is not willing to listen to you, if you're trying to communicate something to me,
yes,
and I'm not receptive, I'm actually just, I've shut down or I'm being ridiculously rude and disrespectful, right?
Good counsel.
And misunderstanding and all that type of stuff. Then you're saying the next step for you would
for
be
that person to get counsel so they can understand. Not
for
the
you
one
to get. Okay, but if I'm not listening to you,
if you're not,
how are you
going
to convince me to go and get counsel with you?
Just I'm not saying that you're convincing that person. I'm saying that the person that has sense on the subject should go get counsel first.
Okay, that's what I wasn't clear about because it sounded
that's
just
what I'm
though,
saying.
But you're saying I go by yourself.
Ultimately, you believe that we have to bring it back together if we're going to have
absolutely
a marriage network.
Absolutely.
That's all I'm saying.
And so since you brought up counsel, that's one of the scriptures I was going to bring up was that basically you shouldn't be foolish about those situations. You shouldn't just try to attack it and think it's going to actually not just attack it and think it's going to work out on its own if you keep hitting a brick wall, right? But also just not speaking about it and you shutting down and assuming it's going to get better and not, let me just not touch it. Let me just not deal with it. That's scary too. That's probably not going to work out well either. So there are several scriptures related to wise counsel. There are several scriptures related to being foolish. So I'll just throw out some along this conversation. The first one I have is that the way a fool seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. I think it's dangerous, and you said a few good nuggets, but I got thrown off on that point that wasn't clear, and prayerfully I'll be able to circle back to it. But the enemy likes to make us think that we're going through something by ourselves. He likes to make us think that we are, it's us. You're the isolated incident. You're the isolated marriage. You're the isolated troubled couple. And you shouldn't discuss this with anybody else because it's going to be embarrassing and shameful that you're the only ones can't get it right. That you're the only one struggling in this area. And when we feel that way, we get discouraged. And we feel if we're the only one struggling, we're going to keep it to ourselves because we don't see anyone else experiencing this. We're going to keep it to ourselves. We're going to struggle in silence and eventually walk ourselves into somebody's courthouse or law office because this is not realistic. I mean, everybody else seemed to be making it work. Why are we struggling alone? Seek wise counsel. Pray for a couple. Pray for a person that will be able to edify your marriage. Speak life with you and into you regarding your marriage, regarding yourself, and be realistic with you about your marriage and about yourself. You don't want somebody that's always trying to pat you on the back about some things that you are genuinely being foolish about, right? Because if they're supporting that foolishness, then both of y'all are going to be sitting on the sidelines trying to figure out, what was I thinking? Why did I give you that advice? You shouldn't have been listening to me. Why did I listen to you? Why did I take your advice? So definitely Proverbs 12:15, the ways of fools seem right to them. Only to you does it make sense at that time, because it's supposed to make sense at that time, because he's trying to make you do something, encourage you to do something you shouldn't be doing. So it looks like it makes sense. But when you're around other people that are reasonable, somebody's going to tell you, that sounds right for now, but let me explain what else can happen from that situation. Let me further your thought process on that. And if you still want to do it, okay. But I need you to see it from a different perspective. And I think that's wisdom. I also think it's wisdom to even ask for advice, to be humble enough to ask for help in a situation. And we have this mindset that asking for advice, asking for help, is weakness. But there's a strength in that, because you're strong enough to admit you need it instead of just drowning. Oh, it's like a pastor, the church we attended, and he said, do you remember the story? I need assistance, please. Somebody's drowning, and they had gone to college, and they were like, okay, I'm this college educated person now, so I won't speak like everybody back home, but they're back home with the family and they're in the pool, right, and they're struggling and drowning. Assistance, please. Assistance, please. And nobody turns around. Nobody's trying to help. Nobody hears it, because you're so college educated that they don't comprehend the word, and just yelling, assistance, please. Assistance, please. Until it got too serious. Right. The struggle was too hard, too rough to handle alone. And all you heard next was, help! Everybody comes running. Sometimes we have to get to that point, and that shows strength, because why drown when you don't have to? Why suffer when you don't have to? So I'll stop there and let you jump in.
Don't have anything.
Well, to further that, I did say pray. I did say ask for wisdom and discernment about the person you're getting that advice from. The nugget you spoke about, or I guess I'll separate it, if you will, in the sense of premarital advice, which is still marital advice, of course, and then postmarital advice, right? And you were speaking more in terms of if you're going through something and then you don't, you know, you're getting advice from certain people that you probably shouldn't get advice from and all of that. Wasn't that kind of where you were? Okay. So you can definitely experience it in both aspects, and experiencing it in the postmarital state can be just as difficult. I think even more difficult, because you're in the midst of it. You're in the meat of everything.
Right.
Premarital, you're still in the bliss, and you just probably not taking much of it in, right? Because you feel like, well, some of the stuff we're hearing about, we're not going to experience this because we got this on lock. We're much more secure than what they're saying. Pray about that too, because some of these things that you're hearing about and we'll hear about, and I know we heard about, you could think they may not come up, but some of these things are general across the board. And it's just about the way that you should approach it. The way that, God, if this comes up, when this comes up, mm-hmm, help me to remember this piece of advice. Write it down so that we'll be able to handle it with wisdom and be able to ensure that our marriage sustains the test of time, and we continue to edify ourselves as we keep you as that three-strand cord. The best marital advice to me across the board is still God in the Bible, right? You have to go there first for me, because sometimes as we're struggling through marital issues, he will not only show you how to deal with it, but sometimes he'll show you not to deal with it, because really there's nothing to deal with. You just a little bit out of control, mm-hmm, and you might need to go sit down in a corner somewhere and cool off and everything's good. It's really just what you may be experiencing emotionally or something else, you know, that has taken you to perceive something away differently. It could be that, but definitely that's what I would start with. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrating to divide the soul and spirit, joints and marrow, judging the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Bible will even help you discern what advice you should be listening to. Okay, this is advice I remember. Mm-hmm. Maybe I shouldn't even use this right now, because right now I want to use it to my advantage and it's really not going to be beneficial to our marriage as a whole. The Bible will help. That's God speaking life into you, into your marriage consistently. Let the wise listen and add to their learning, and let the discerning get advice. There is wisdom, there is strength, there's beauty in asking for assistance. I don't know why, and where we got into the mindset that it's not okay, or it's not, it's faux pas to ask for help. But we'll ask people that validate us for help. They may not have any education on the situation to help when you really just want to be validated, right? You're not genuinely trying to get edification and get rationale about a situation. Another nugget that I thought of when you were speaking was not only going out to these outside places, which was great. Speaking of social media and all of that, not totally realistic, right? Don't confide in the new movie. Y'all going through something and you like, this Lifetime movie, that's the, okay, this is how I'm gonna handle it. Come on. These people are writing a script. It's not realistic. It's not the safest thing. Or you're going back in your mind to a Disney movie that just made sense to you, or Hallmark movie, and you, this is the way your marriage is supposed to look because that's the way you had in mind. This is what you envision from whatever movie. And it's not going this way. And then you go back to this movie and you're looking at these characters and this is like a script. He's not acting the way this person is in this movie. Now you set up your... That's another version of advice that will get us going down the wrong path as well. We just saw a movie called Elsa and Fred. And Elsa, the character Elsa in that movie, was infatuated. Like, her entire life was wrapped up around a movie and a character in a movie. She literally struggled in her marriage and pretty much dismantled her marriage around because of her husband not being willing to participate and act out the roles of the characters of her favorite movie. Dismantled her marriage. He thought she was crazy, and all that was the dream she had for her life. She felt this, she related so much with this character. Her husband had to fall in line with this. And when they didn't, he didn't, there's no more marriage as far as she was concerned. She had even said the man was dead and he was alive and kicking. Don't get, that's the ways of a fool that seem right to them. A good old marriage she could have had had she not been wrapped up in this particular movie and the characters of the movie.
Yeah. I agree with everything that you're saying. It's so very important. And I know we reference scripture a lot. We reference Bible a lot. But it's, to us, marriage is impossible without the Bible. It's impossible without wise counsel. That's why I spoke a little bit about friends and social media, because I believe that some relationships will go there. Confide in a friend instead of a counsel. Confide in social media before they open up the Bible. And those things, counsel and Bible is last resort type of things, as we're on our out in some relationships. And it's important that the third person that you're bringing in is the Holy Spirit, not your ace, not your friend, not the children, trying to turn something against one another. It's important to just understand that, yes, these are foolish ways. These are things that will simply take the relationship in a negative way. And it's important to seek counsel before you have an issue. It's important to read it's important to go. It's important to focus on each other, moving all of the distractions out of the way before things begin to break down, because there will be disagreements in the relationship. But if you haven't worked on the communication, if you haven't worked on developing, confiding in one another, if you're always going to somebody else, that's a negative aspect of the relationship. Yes, counsel is very important. Yes, that powerful couple that you admire is very important, but it's your house and you have to do the work. Marriage is, or it can be, difficult at times, but it is always work every time. And if you see it in that respect, if you respect marriage in that way, I believe that you have more success in receiving counsel from others.
What's some of the, or a piece of marital advice you think you've received that was stellar, and then some that probably wasn't?
Listen more, talk less.
Is that good or bad for you?
That marital was a great advice. It's a great thing, because from my perspective, when you're listening more, because from a husband perspective, we should be serving our wives. That's what the scripture instructs us to do. And if we're doing that, if we're serving, we have to hear her heart. We have to listen for the things that she needs. And if you're going about it in that respect, I believe that success follows that in serving effectively. I can't really say that I've received bad marital advice as I think about it at the moment. No, I can't. I can't say that, that I've received that.
Gotcha.
Negative advice.
Okay.
Maybe something was said, not certain if I didn't hear it or I just didn't apply it.
Okay. Another thought process or perspective that you can use, and this is some people, you know, their favorite scripture. So I will share this one. When I was a child, I talked like a child, I thought like a child, I reasoned like a child. Mm-hmm. When I became a man, I put the ways of childhood behind me. 1 Corinthians 13:11. When we're children, we're pretty much forced to listen. We're forced to take advice about our lives. You're trained, you're disciplined, you're raised a certain way. And all of that is advice based on your experiences as a parent, so that you can ensure the success of your child, the life, the success for the life of your child, so that you can ensure that the way that's being paid for them will result in the least amount of trouble, struggles, unnecessary trauma as possible, because you've been down that road, right? Mm-hmm. And you know your child's gonna question, and they do. They question certain things. But it's really not much different from that. Yes, as a child, you think like a child and all of those things. But the difference with regards to marital advice is that, again, going back to the wisdom and humility of asking, you're forced as a child to listen to these things. As an adult, you request it. You make a conscious decision. An intentional effort goes into asking for marital advice with the notion that you care about your marriage and you're going to be intentional about securing a successful marriage, securing a marriage that's going to be sustainable, healthy, and whole, that you're willing to do whatever it takes to ensure that this marriage works, right? For the long haul, beyond the aisle. So thinking as a child is a beautiful thing. We know that, you know, as it speaks in the Bible, we'll be received in that way, if we humble ourselves in that manner. And I think we can approach it that same way as it relates to marital advice and being open-minded, as a child is open-minded and willing to be molded as necessary, then take it and say, okay, God, help me to apply this. Spouse, I received this marital advice today. Let's pray over it. Let's see how this may work for us, and let's apply it in a certain way. For example, You know, some people could say the wife's supposed to cook all the time and certain things should go a certain way. Well, I can say, yeah, no, I plan to work every day. I'm not cooking every day. But we sit down and talk about it. And he's like, you know what? That makes sense. That doesn't necessarily work for our marriage. So we're going to apply it to the extent of maybe not every day, but every other day. And then I'll cook the other days. You have to invest in being intentional about what advice you're going to apply to your marriage and what advice you're going to throw away. Because the people that are advising you, you have to at least start off with the belief that they have good intentions for your marriage. They know the certain roads that your marriage can go down, and they don't want to see you go down certain roads unnecessarily, struggle unnecessarily, hurt unnecessarily, and just, you know, it things not work out unnecessarily. So to me, it would behoove us, those of us who are married for a certain number of years, we're 15 years in. I'm not going to be crazy enough to say I'm not listening to a person that's been married and them giving marital advice 51 years. Tell me. Help us out. Because y'all look like y'all are still together liking each other. Please help. Because changes happen every day, right? And then there could be someone 3 years married in comparison to our 15. They're experiencing something we've never experienced before, but it's our first time and they've already crossed that bridge. It's beneficial for us. I may not know any other couple that has gone through this, but this person, this couple married less than we are, babies on their journey, if you will. And they have a plethora of experience in this area. Why not? You know, I just think it makes sense. As usual, I'm going to stop. I think I have one other scripture to share.
You're doing well. Keep going. Yeah, I agree.
Well, a lot of times too, especially in the Christian world, we say, oh, listen to your elders, listen to your elders, listen to your seniors, right? Mm-hmm. And a lot of us, as a result, we will roll our eyes to listen to your elders. as we heard in church earlier today, you feeling like your parents are dinosaurs. They don't know anything. That was back when you were growing up or when you experienced this and things aren't the same anymore. And then now we're the ones that are considered the elders and things of that nature. And so we really don't want to pay attention until we realize we should have paid attention. Don't think of an elder as someone you are required to. You know, some of us in the South, you have to listen to your elders. You have to respect your elders. You have to stick around and sit at their feet and take in whatever. Don't think of them as this. I saw on Wikipedia, and I'm going to share this particular definition, if you will. An elder is a person who is valued for wisdom and holds a position of responsibility and authority. I think of it in this sense, and a person who is valued for wisdom, person, and holds a position of responsibility and authority or experience. Right? A person who's experienced. Let's just kind of peel back wisdom quickly. A lot of people think wisdom comes with age. Wisdom to me, as I've learned, wisdom comes through experience. Okay. With the prime example I just gave, a married couple 3 years in comparison to our 15, maybe experiencing some parenting issues or some financial issues that we're just now about to experience. Now, we've crossed a whole lot of other bridges,
right,
that they've never experienced and probably won't until they get further into their marriage. But this area is new for us and they're equipped. Why not sit down and say, hey, can y'all tell us what? Because I'm feeling this. Yeah. What do y'all experience? What works for you guys? Am I looking at this in the wrong way? Help us out, because I don't know if right now in the situation we're in, it's a struggle and I'm not sure if we're going to survive it. I'm not sure if we're going to make it. And this couple is going to be able to enlighten us. It makes sense, y'all. The way of a fool only makes sense to himself. The ways of a fool. Mm-hmm. So my last scripture to add to that is that This one, it means a lot to me in many different ways. So I'm just going to share the scripture, and it's kind of lengthy first. Share the scripture to an extent, and then maybe expound a bit. It speaks about the older men and women are to share, educate, encourage the younger. Titus 2 through 8, if you will. Teach the older men to be temperate, reasonable, or not excessive, worthy of respect, self-controlled, sound in faith, in love, and in endurance. Likewise, teach your older women to be reverent in the way they live, not to be slanderers or addicted to too much wine, but to teach what is good, to be self-controlled and pure, to be busy at home, kind, subject to their husbands, so that no one will malign the word of God. In everything, set them an example by doing what is good. In your teaching, show integrity. In your teaching, show integrity. As we've taught our children, our son, thank God, is already getting awards for this. Integrity is doing what you know to do, even when no one else is watching. So don't teach, of course, something that you're not upholding to. Because, of course, as we know, we learn this as children, and a lot of people still do this. You learn from what someone does, not what they say. You know your children are doing it. You know children do it in general, whether they're yours or not. You can tell them not to do something, but if they see you doing it, they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. Looks like it's a good idea to me because you chose to do it. In your teaching, show integrity, seriousness, and soundness of speech that cannot be condemned, so that those who oppose you may be ashamed because they have nothing bad to say about us. Doing what's right, even when no one else is looking. Mm-hmm. Let your good not be evil spoken of. Being consistent. I say shame on you to the people who have the experience and they're watching other people suffer, struggle, fall. You have a responsibility to the people who are under you, if you will, younger, less experienced in those areas, to ensure that they don't have to go that route. It's one thing if you've shared the information and they chose to go down a different path. It's out of your hands at that point. We like to say, oh, I'm minding my business. You can mind your business and still share your wisdom. Still share your experience. We are not meant to have an experience this life in general, as well as marriage alone. We're not meant to struggle unnecessarily. And I believe a lot of us are unnecessarily because people are, I'm minding my business. I'm not this, that, and the other. Well, we don't know. You know, some people don't want to. Well, try them out anyway, because if they don't have to go through it, how much more enlightening and helpful and enriched is your life knowing that you were able to help someone? It's better to give than to receive.
Amen.
Share, help, encourage. And that is what we're hoping we are able to do with you guys. We are receiving for ourselves, and we hope that you are encouraged and enlightened in your own life and in your own marriage by what we have experienced. I can't think of any bad marital advice that I've received. I've seen things walked out that wasn't the most positive, and I've prayed about those things to be able to use discernment on how to, if ever in certain situations such as those, Lord, let me be able to discern what you would have me to do in that situation for my marriage. But I can't specifically think of any negative marital advice at this particular time. A lot of good marital advice and a lot of moments where I've even done some reading and I was like, eh, didn't like that. We're going to move past that. That hasn't been my experience. But definitely the most beneficial, the most beneficial has been including God or keeping him in the marriage and communication. And I stand behind those 100% right? So anything else from you?
No, I could have done this by myself, huh? Listen, I think you spoke with tremendous passion. And as a counselor, as an attorney, you spoke from the heart of when you're going about this journey, it helps to bring people that know more than you into it. Doesn't matter age, wisdom is simply knowing the responsibility of so many that are going through great things and have had wonderful, not only relationships, what wonderful experiences. We owe it to others to share. We shouldn't hold it to ourselves. I even have a problem with that when it comes to success in anything. We should be willing to reach our hand back to help somebody else. All of this, and I believe that God dealt with me about this too, is that I'm not blessing you. I'm not blessing Damia just for you. I'm blessing you so you can share with somebody else. So I think you did a wonderful job of that tonight. I have been encouraged just by hearing.
Awesome. So thank you. Well, thank you. You made me think of this last thing of people having the mentality, well, if I had to struggle to make it happen, if I had to struggle to get to it, then that's the best way I learned. So,
yeah.
You know, that's, again, the ways of a fool are right to them. Like, it's just not necessary. It's just not. And lastly, I said that a second ago, I'm sure. Pray about who wise counsel would be for you in your marriage.
That's good.
Get discernment about that, because you definitely want someone who wants to see your marriage win, who's speaking rationally, reasonably, as I stated before, encouraging you, but not validating your foolishness, edifying you and your marriage, willing to pray for you and your marriage so that you succeed. Amen. And however God sees fit to maintain, sustain, work out their marriage, that this person is praying for God's will for your marriage.
That's good.
And not the foolishness that may be going on to continue and just hoping on the sidelines that, oh, I can't wait because I've been by myself and I miss my friends so we can go back and go to the club or, you know, misery loves company, right? So you want to ensure that you're the counsel is the counsel that he has for you. We like to think that it takes a village to raise a child. That village is for the adults, truth be told. And the village is necessary for married couples as well. We love you guys.
Yes, we do.
We pray for you guys. We pray that this particular advice and marital information will be enlightening to you. Pray about what to apply and what not to.
Amen.
Pray about and look into the scriptures that have been applied here as well and that we've shared. And we pray that they will be encouraging. Nevertheless, if not for you, maybe for someone else. But we appreciate you as always for joining us on our marital journey and willing to invite us to be a part of yours as well. At this time, we are going to wrap this up in prayer.
Father God, we just thank you. We appreciate you, oh God. God, we are just grateful for what you have given Damia tonight and what you've given her as it relates to what counsel to hear and listen to. God, I pray that you will bless couples with discernment, God, that you will bless them not to listen to foolish people, but God, that they will listen to those that will give them spiritual guidance, oh God, that will reference them back to you, oh God, that relationship can be even more in and through you, oh God. Lord, I pray that we study your word, oh God, and that we will become not only one, oh God, but one in you, allowing you to be that third person that will give us that spiritual guidance. Lord, I appreciate you, oh God, just for this time that you've given us, this podcast that you've given us on this thought, on this day. God, I pray that the words that have been said, the scriptures that have been said, can be applied in relationships, applied in marriages, that it will sustain the marriages for the long haul. God, we know you want marriage to win. And God, we pray that we will be the example that you are calling for us to be in this day, in this hour. God, we know we want to see the enemy defeated, and he wants to see us defeated, simply because we are projecting a worthy image of you as being married people. God, I pray that you will keep us strong in the name of Jesus. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Thank God. Amen. And until next time, be healthy.
Be whole.
Be blessed is our prayer for each of you. We'll see you next week.